and I had done that for 12 years. For 12 years, I opened every Sunday morning junior church class with that song. Let's talk about Jesus. Every Sunday morning, junior church, 11 o'clock, like clockwork, that was the song we sang. And when we stood to sing it tonight, it kind of reminded me of those days when I taught junior church for a long time. Well, we come, whoa, sorry. That was my fault. I stuck my face right on it. I won't do that again. Hopefully, I will. If I faint, I might, but other than that, I won't. We're talking about Noah. This is the third lesson that we'll have about Noah. Although, if it was a normal setting in a church, when you had like 45 minutes or so to share a lesson, it would be one lesson. But the three were, first of all, Noah was a believing man. And then we saw where he was righteous, where he was blameless, where he was obedient. Then last week, we talked about Noah being a faithful man. He built the ark. He was 120 years building the ark and preaching righteousness and stayed faithful, and he was just faithful. And he trusted God's covenant that God had made with him. And then ultimately, he gathered the animals together. Actually, God brought the animals to him, but Noah got them all on the ark. Now this evening, as we come to chapter 7 and also parts of chapter 8, we're going to see that Noah was a secure man, and Noah had learned to wait on the Lord. Now, Psalm 32, verse 9 says this. There's some odd verses in the Bible. They say some odd things. This one happens to say this. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Now, Noah evidently maybe he didn't have that verse at the time for sure, but he seemed to understand the counsel. A horse sometimes wants to run ahead, and the mule wants to drag its feet stubbornly and stay back. We never had a mule, but we had a couple horses. And me and the girl next door, Sissy, her name was Sharon, but we always called her Sissy. We were riding that stupid horse one day, bareback. I just threw a bridle on it and jumped on the back, and she wanted to go for a ride. Okay, so she jumped on the back. Well, we went down the road, and we decided to turn around and come home. And the horse just decided that he was going to go. Whoom! Just as fast as he could run that miserable thing. I hated that horse, but I rode him a lot. Don't ask me why. He bit me more than once, and he could bite. Oh, just about break your shoulder, you know. And then I'd grab a club and pound on him. And then I'd get back out there again the next day. I'd be arrested today, but anyway. And then one other day I was riding him for no apparent reason. He just, starts bucking like, I don't know why, maybe just because he was nuts. But he was a stallion, so he was full of it. But anyhow, a horse wants to run ahead. A mule, we never had one, but I've seen people try to drag a mule. They're just stubborn. Well, Noah wasn't that way. Noah was a secure man, and Noah just walked with God. Now look here at verses 1 through 10 of chapter 7. The time had finally come when God was going to bring Noah and the animals into the ark, and judgment was going to come to the earth. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy horse, I got horses on my. Try that again, ready? And the Lord said unto Noah, I've done this so many times it doesn't even embarrass me anymore, isn't that awful? Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take of thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beast, and are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of the fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep the seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days. So there's going to be 7 days before the rain starts. Upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And there's another case where he's obedient. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife, and the sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah unto the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Now, the time had come The rains actually started on the 17th day of the second month, according to verse 11. We didn't read that verse. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month of the 17th day of the month, the same day, were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. So the sky opened, water began to come up from underneath as well, and it started to flood. It was on the 10th day of the second month that Noah and his family moved into the ark under God's instructions there where we read in verses 1 and 4. Now, they followed the Lord's instructions, they trusted God's covenant promise, and they knew that there was nothing to fear. Now, that's where believers today need to get in their life. That no matter what's coming, nobody knows for sure what's coming, but we are not to be fearful people. During that final week, before the rains came and God had called them into the ark, they probably gathered the rest of the animals, maybe some supplies that they had not put into the ark yet, and ultimately they were waiting on God to move. The psalm that we read tonight, Psalm 29, one day David watched a storm, and he wrote seemingly Psalm 29. And as he watched the storm, he wrote what it said in verse 10, "The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. Now the rain, the echoing thunder, the flashing lightning," it reminded David of the sovereignty of God. And no matter how great the storms of life may be, and everybody, and I mentioned this a little bit Sunday morning, everybody will go through storms in their life. God is still on the throne, causing everything to work together for good. So that caused David to write then the last verse that we read in Psalm 29. "The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." Now, what God can do for you and I is give us peace. I don't mean that we'll be free from conflict, but I mean the peace of God that passes all understanding. Peace is the peaceful, calm delight in any circumstance that you have in your life. Now, I don't care what the circumstances is, you can be calm and you can have delight. Now, at the end of this final week of preparation, Noah and his family obeyed God's command and they entered into the ark. And then God shut the door and it made it safe, verse 16. And they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and it said, and the Lord shut him in. Now, they had absolutely no idea how long they would live in the ark, but the Lord knew. And quite honestly, that's all that really mattered. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but God knows. I don't know what next week holds, but God knows. And quite honestly, beloved, that's really all that matters. Psalm 31:15 says, "My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." A little over a year later, probably a year and 10 days if you want to be exact, God would open the door and would invite them to come out and to live on the earth. But the earth now will be different. I mean, you have a massive flood like this, and the water moves, and it moves the mountains and the hills and all of that stuff. And by the way, I wasn't going to say much about this, and I won't, but I will mention it. Do you know why they can find a whole bunch of fossils in certain particular areas? For anything to fossilize, it has to be covered in dirt real fast. Well, Noah's flood would cover animals, I mean, in mudslides, and they would just be covered. And then when they dig them up, they'll find these perfect fossils. But it doesn't take millions and billions of years for those things to happen. There was a coal mine in West Virginia several years ago that had a collapse. And so the miners got out, and one of them left his hat there. Well, you don't, when a mine is collapsing, you don't turn around and go back and get your hat, okay? You get out. So he got out. 50 years later, they opened up that mine. And when they dug up that, where that hat was, it was all fossilized. So when a scientist says it takes all this time for something to fossilize, that doesn't seem to be really accurate or very true. So anyway, that is why they will find a lot of animal fossils in one area, because there was a flood way back in here. And so all of this stuff is there. Anyway, there was a day of reckoning. Now, the flood was God's judgment on the wicked world. When you look at verse 11 again, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And now the day of reckoning had come, even to where the highest mountains on earth would be covered. Go down to verse 20. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. Now there's some pretty high mountain ranges. Maybe some of you have been to the Rockies. There were some big mountains. They were covered. They probably weren't even, actually when the flood first came, they probably weren't even there. But there are some big mountain ranges, and yet they were all underwater. Now God had waited for over a century, because Noah was 120 years. That's over a century for sinners to repent. And now it was too late. Hold your finger here. Look at Isaiah chapter 55. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. While the people in the days of Noah had realized that now the Lord wouldn't be found. The door to the ark was shut and there was no hope. The day will come again. There'll be another day of reckoning. One day God will say that's enough. And judgment will come upon this wicked world once again. Go back to Genesis 7, verse 12. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. The rain, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And then the rain stopped. But it doesn't seem like that the water level had reached its peak until about 150 days into this, verse 24 said, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. The ark, now remember, the ark doesn't have a motor on it. Nobody's paddling it or oaring it. So it drifted, and it finally it came to a rest on Mount Ararat, verse 4 of chapter 8. And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. Now, the ark had drifted there. Now it's going to take another 150 days for the water to recede. Verse 3. And the waters returned from off of the earth continually, and after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. Finally, you come to verse 14. In the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. So finally, Noah and his family left the ark and they set the animals free. Now, from the day that the door was shut, it had been a little over a year that they'd been in the ark. Now, while in the scope of life, that's not really a long time, but to be in a boat for over a year, in my book, because they lived to be 600 and some years old here too, so, but it seems like a long time to be in a boat on the water. Now, all this time, Noah's trusting God, doing what he's supposed to do. And then there is coming a universal judgment. Now, I want you to notice back in chapter 6 and verse 7. God said, well, here's what he said, verse 7. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Both man and beast and all the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And you know what? God did. Chapter 7 and verse 4. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. God caused that to happen. Verse 21. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of the cattle and of the beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. And as whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which is upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Now that's some serious judgment. Chapter 8 and verse 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. It is amazing how sinfully wicked man can be. Now let's remember that judgment was universal. It wasn't limited. You'll probably never study this. I'll make you aware of it. You may never even come across it. But there are those that teach a limited judgment. What they teach is it only flooded in a certain area. It wasn't a worldwide flood. Well, the Bible doesn't seem to teach that. The Bible seems to teach that it covered the mountains. And it teaches a worldwide flood. Now, whoever came up with this limited judgment thing, I have no idea. But this judgment was not limited. It was universal. And the coming judgment's not going to be a limited judgment. It's going to be a universal judgment. Now, if the ark floated over the mountains and it settled on Mount Ararat, the entire planet must have been completely immersed. And that's what it seems to say in chapter 7, verses 18 through 20. And then God promised that he'd never send another flood like the one that he sent in Noah's day. I'd like you to look at chapter 8 and verse 8. And just to read this, and so you can kind of connect the dots if you've never read it before. Also, he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. So Noah sent this dove out the windows. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark. There was no tree anywhere for the bird to roost. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him unto the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off of the earth. So he sent the dove out the second time, and it comes back with an olive thing in its mouth. And he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove again, which returned not again unto him any more. So he knew that the bird had found a place to live. It came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And so, everybody, animals, man, that was eight of them that was left off the ark. While there have been some horrible floods, back in 1996, China had a flood that killed 2,000 people. Afghanistan, the same year in April, Afghanistan had a flood that left 3,000 people homeless. Those were bad floods. This flood, on Noah's day, covered all the earth. Well, we don't know how far human life had spread from Adam and Eve over the planet. Everywhere humans went, there was sin that had to be judged. Now, there's a lot of people today that don't think that sin needs to be judged. And there's a lot of people today that don't think God will judge sin. And I'm not sure that everybody today realizes that there is such a thing as sin. But trust me on something, there is sin. People do sin, and God ultimately will judge sin. Now, the flood bears witness to a universal judgment. Peter and James used the flood to illustrate future events that will involve the entire world, the return of Christ in Matthew 24 and Luke 17, and the worldwide judgment of fire in 2 Peter chapter 2. Judgment is universal. It was then, and it will be again. And then one last thought. Noah's family was a patient family. In spite of the devastation that was outside, Noah and his family and the animals were secure inside the ark. No matter how they felt or how much the ark tossed all over the place, they were safe because they were in God's will. They were perfectly in God's will. Now, patiently, they waited on God to complete his work and put them back on the earth. Noah and his family spent 1 year and 17 days on the ark and did their chores, faithfully serving. And through faith and patience, we inherit God's promised blessings. Hebrews 6 says, For ye have not need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. We just wait on the Lord. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Noah found that to be true. He did the will of God. He received the promise. Noah was willing to wait on the Lord. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. I want to show you something. The earth was immersed in water, but the ark floated above the water, and it brought Noah and his family to the place of safety. Now, Peter saw this. If I can find Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. And as he pictured baptism. Now notice 1 Peter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened into spirit, by which also he went and preached unto... That's not the verse I want. Hang on. What's that, Matt? Well, hang on. Maybe I wrote the wrong verses down. Yeah, that's it. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, within few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. Now, it isn't that they were saved by water so much as that they were saved from drowning in the water. Then it says this, and if there's 2 words you ought to underline here, it's this. The like figure. It says like figure. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Baptism doesn't save anybody. But it's a like figure of what does save us. And what is baptism a like figure of? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. So the water dogs, we used to call them Campbellites because Mr. Campbell started a movement that says baptism washes away sins outside of Catholicism. And this is one of the verses he pointed at, but he never read the 2 words like figure, I guess. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. So baptism is a picture of salvation, but it doesn't save anybody. Peter then saw Noah, a picture of salvation. Now listen, the earth was dead. It was buried in the water. And when a person is in the baptismal tank, they're shown up this way, and then they go down and die, and they're in the water, and it pictures their death and burial. And just as the ark rose up from the water and rested on dry land, a believer in Christ who follows the Lord in believer's baptism is risen up out of the water. Lord willing, they're risen up out of the water anyway. And they are risen to walk in newness of life with God, but it pictures the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again, and he finished all the work for salvation that is necessary. Baptism doesn't save anybody, but is a picture of that which saves. Now, Peter makes it pretty clear that the water of baptism doesn't wash away sin. Peter makes that very clear, actually. It's a picture of what does, the gospel. Now, Alexander McLaren wrote this. He said, for 120 years, the witch laughed and the common sense people wondered. And the patient saint went on hammering and pitching on the ark. But one morning it began to rain. And by degrees, somehow, Noah did not seem quite such a fool. The jest would look rather different when the water was up to the knees of the jesters. and their sarcasms would stick to their throats as they drowned. So is it always. So it will be at the last great day. The men who lived for the future by faith in Christ will be found out to have been the wise men when the future has become the present, and the present has become the past and is gone forever. While they who had no aims beyond the things of time, which are now sunk beneath the dreary horizon, will awake too late to the conviction that they are outside the ark of safety and that their trust epithet is this: thou fool. So Noah faithfully served God, was a very patiently waiting on God. He was a righteous man. He was a faithful man. He was a secure man. And everybody around him could have mocked and laughed and made fun of him. But you know what? He just kept on doing the things that God wanted him to do. And God honored him. And unfortunately, everybody else, I don't have any idea what the population of the earth was, but everybody else drowned in the flood, and God brought them through. And when you remember Noah's flood, it helps you deal with some of the skeptics about how old the earth is, about how much, things need to fossilize, and how come all this is there, and what happened to the dinosaurs and all this stuff. After the flood, the earth was radically changed. Radically changed. And if you want to go into a lot further detail, there's some good books in our library you can read on Noah and the Ark, or Noah and the Flood in creation as well. But they'll help you understand these things a little bit better. Father, we know that there's another day of judgment coming, a day of reckoning for the lost. They didn't listen to Noah. For 120 years, they never listened to him. Our Lord came a little over 2,000 years ago now. They didn't listen to him. Preachers preach the word of God. People don't listen. But that doesn't change the fact that one day you will judge. And it doesn't change what's true and what's not true. Truth is still truth, regardless of men believe it or not. And we're living in another day a continuation of the day that men's hearts are continually wicked and evil. And we do need to realize that judgment is coming, and I pray that you would impress that upon our hearts and on our minds, and we would try to reach people. Noah didn't quit. He was faithful. And may we not quit. May we remain faithful to the cause of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.